Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Amen? We can trust in Him. We can rely upon Him. He is our totality of life now. And as I shared with you a minute ago, I'm going to be plagiarizing using the Word of God that was developed by a much better Bible teacher than me. And he provided the words from the Word of God. And I'm reminded of a scripture in Isaiah that says that, and I'll paraphrase, the Word will go forth and not return to Him empty without accomplishing what He desires. So is your Word, His Word, as it comes out and just engulfs you? It's Jesus Christ, His Word. He is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we can rely on that. We can say, thank you, Lord. I know you're going to do something in my life, but I just don't know exactly what it is at this moment. But I'm open to what you have. Amen? So we just want to be open to the glories of Christ. Not that we are sufficient. And this is in 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God. He's faithful. One of the great tenets of Scripture is the claim that Jesus Christ is completely sufficient for all matters of life and godliness. Listen to what Peter wrote. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Verse 4. In the first chapter. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers. We're partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. He's sufficient for creation. Colossians, it says, for by Him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. And now right there, you just want to get up and jump down and say, hallelujah, glory be to God. He is sufficient. He does it. He upholds everything. He is before all things, and in Him, all things hold together. He is sufficient for salvation. It says in Hebrews, by this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Those old sacrifices, we've been going through the book of Hebrew on Wednesday night, and they're dead. Those old sacrifices, that's the old way. The new way is Jesus Christ and His perfectly shed blood. It's such a miracle that each one of us that have received that free gift know that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's sufficient for sanctification. Listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians. Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, and having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that washing of water with Word, the Word washing over us. That's why we're in the Word, that it would wash over us and minister to us, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. He's sufficient for glorification. In Romans it says, and these whom He predestined, He also called. We've been called. Scripture is very evident about the calling of God. He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified. That's part of the glories of Christ. He is sufficient for everything we need. So pure is He, Jesus Christ, that there is no blemish, no stain, no spot of sin, no defilement, no lying, no deception, no corruption, no error or imperfection. 1 Peter put it this way, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the... Do you believe that? I do. I believe it. He was foreknown. For He was foreknown before the foundations of the world. Consider that. Get your head around that. Before the foundation of the world. Before anything was ever... Before the heavens, before the earth, He was. But He has appeared in these last times for the sake of us. For us, He's so complete as Christ that there is no other God beside Him. Listen to what Isaiah said in the 45th chapter. The Lord said, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides Me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known Me. That's what He's done with every one of us. He's girded us with the Word of God, that we wear it like a piece of clothing, that we would glorify Him in that action of just wearing that clothing of Christ, that people would see Christ in us, and He would be glorified just by the action of us being obedient to Him, that in obedience we would walk after Him. That people would, that when they look at us, when they see our actions, that they would say, that, you know, that's Christ. And that Christ would be glorified, that He would be lifted up. He's the only begotten Son. John 1:14 that we looked at is, John. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And then jumping to verse 18, no one had seen God at any time but the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained Him. It's like Psalm 110 says, that He said, set up My right hand till I make an enemy the footstool for your feet. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. Colossians said, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. The fullness of the Godhead dwells not only in bodily form, but He is the heir of all things. Hebrews 1:2 says, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. He created all things. And all things were made by Him, through Him, and for Him. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the exact representation of God. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the sun that shines in the sky that enlightens. He's the physician that heals. He's the wall of fire that defends. The friend that comforts. The pearl that enriches. The ark that supports. And the rock to sustain under the heaviest of pressures. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. He is better than angels. Better than Moses. Better than Aaron. Better than Joshua. Better than Melchizedek. Better than all the prophets. Sounds like we're in Hebrews, doesn't it? Greater than Satan and stronger than death. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the spotless Lamb of God. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is our life. He is the living and the true way. He is the strength of Israel. He is the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. He is faithful and true. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the champion. He is the elected one. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He is the righteous servant. He is the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, the God man of sorrows. He is the light. He is the Son of Man. He is the vine. He is the bread of life. He is the door. He is the Lord. He is the prophet. He is the priest. He is the king. He is our Sabbath rest. He is the righteousness. He is in the wonderful He is our wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the chief shepherd. He is the Lord, the God of hosts. He is the Lord of the nations. He is the Lion of Judah and the living Word, the rock of salvation, the eternal spirit. He is the Ancient of Days, creator, comforter, Messiah, and he is the great I am. Amen? He is the great I am. I'd like to close. Usually I get an amen on that. You all are slow on the draw. How many heard of the Roman road? Very good, most of you. And this Roman road is going through the book of Romans. And then you could even go into other books. But it succinctly lays out the problem. And the problem is man had sin in his life. We're born with sin. The only one who was born sinless was Jesus Christ. That's because the Holy Spirit overcame Mary. It wasn't man's way. But in Romans 3:23, I'm going to stop and pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and if there's anyone here that doesn't have a relationship with your Son Jesus, we would want them especially to open their heart. At least open their ears and to hear what your Word says about the reality of eternal life in your Son Jesus. For it's been written, Lord, that for it's by grace we're saved through faith. And this not of ourselves, it's a gift from God. It's not by works, lest any of us should brag about that. But it's there that you would be glorified. So Father, we commit this time to you, especially for those that may not know you. Now when I get finished with this, I'm going to give you an invitation. If you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll hopefully have that opportunity. If you feel like doing it in the middle of what I'm sharing, go ahead and do it. God's listening. No matter where I'm at, He's listening for your voice. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ." There is redemption only in one person, and that's through Jesus Christ. The Word of God in Acts said there is no other name on earth that man must be saved but by Jesus Christ. It's only by Jesus that man may be saved. And all men have sinned. And then if we go to 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." So the outcome of sin is what? Death. And the really the biggest sin of all and the primary sin is unbelief. That's the sin, unbelief, I suppose. So here we're said the wages of death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we're justified freely by the grace and redemption that only comes through Jesus Christ. Then we go back to 5:8, and 5:8 says, I'm still in Romans, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners..." Anybody here been a sinner? Those that didn't raise your hand, you're lying. I know how you are. I've been there too. "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Then we go to Romans 10:9. And there it says that if you confess with your mouth, it just means speaking forth. Don't worry, you're not in a courtroom. You're not going to have to confess to a crime that you've done, because you've all done a crime. But this confess means to just speak forth. So that as you speak forth with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Anybody have the version of the Bible that says you could be or maybe? No, because it doesn't exist. There is no version except Satan's version. And he's the one that always wants to condemn us. He's always the one who wants to put something on our back. And then in the 13th verse it says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Then we go back and look at the first verse in chapter 5, and it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, it's faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the reason all of us get excited. We're born again. We have the Spirit living inside of us. The seal that was given at that moment we received, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It tells us that in Ephesians, in the first chapter. And then we go to the 8th chapter of Romans in the first verse. And it says, and this is, we've all memorized it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in what? Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. We're not to be condemned. We're the ones, we're our biggest enemy. Amen? I know every day I look at my enemy in the mirror. But I have one that saved me. But there's still a struggle. It's continually going on. But there's no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. And then the 12th chapter, we're told what to continually do for our spiritual act of worship. I went through the Roman road and I've tried to explain succinctly that salvation is only found in one person, and in his name is what? Jesus Christ. And then because that's the only person, you have to receive that free gift. If I had my chapstick here and I'm going to give it to my wife, but she never took it, she'd have what? Chapped lips. If she never took it, she wouldn't receive it, would she? If she doesn't take it, she didn't receive the chapstick. So she wouldn't have the chapstick for her lips, would she? And it's our anniversary, I want her to have the chapstick. But I reach out and give my wife this chapstick and she receives it. It's just the same way with salvation. We either receive the gift or you don't. You either accept it, you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you don't. And if you're here today and you've never received that free gift, the door is wide open. Come. He won't turn anyone away. He knows your heart. So if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, you will be saved. So come to the living water. He's our living water. He's our hope. And you know, none of us knew that when we received, but we heard the call. We receive the gift, and then we daily, hopefully, get into the Word, because it's a transforming thing in our lives, that we're continually being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's Him who does the work within us. It's like the Holy Spirit, that we become indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have the Holy Spirit living in me to lead me, to guide me, direct me. Even when I don't feel like it, I know it. I know it by faith alone. Because look, when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the veil is lifted. For we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are continually being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who's guiding and directing our life as we submit to Him. So that's why when we come together, we kind of get excited and we want to jump up and down and say, hallelujah, glory be to God. And if you haven't received that gift, you wonder, what are these crazy people doing? Amen? See, that's, and so if you've never received that gift, you can do it right now. Heavenly Father, we don't know in this congregation who has not received you yet. But Lord, if your call comes upon any person in this congregation, just speak to their heart. Let them open their heart for your Son Jesus to come inside. Lord, that's the goal, that we would do that continually, not only today in the service, but as we go through our walk with you. That we would continually be looking for ways that your Spirit is guiding us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people, that you may be glorified. Lord, for that we're grateful. We love you because you first loved us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. That concludes my message today. I hope you go in peace. I hope you have a very happy new year and a blessed new year. And keep our congregation in prayer. Amen.